The Bible reading is written in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, and can be found on page 970 in the Church Bibles. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tony. Shall we pray as we come to God's word together? Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the Bible. We thank you that they're your words and they're your words for us today. So as we look at this familiar passage, please help us to be open to you, Lord, to be expectant to hear something new, afresh, encouraging and challenging. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if any of you use those group chats on WhatsApp or other sort of platforms, and we've got one for the parish profile team. And last weekend, you know, I sent a message on that thing as normal, and I ended it with the initials IDC, which to me has always meant in due course, because, well, that's what it is, and because that's what my dad told me or whatever. But anyway, apparently I could have upset people on the group, because in text language now, IDC stands for I don't care. So I do care about the parish profile. So I really think that we should, you know, reclaim it, you know, to at least, if not in due course, we should at least claim it to I do care. And as we were talking about earlier, one of the things I do care about is God's name, God's rule, and God's will, and I care about the Lord's Prayer. And so it's been really great to spend some time over the last few weeks and the next weeks in this sermon series to be reminded just how awesome this prayer is. How Jesus himself, God himself has given us the perfect prayer to pray to him. I love it that we can pray it, you know, individually. I love it that we, as we've just done, we can pray it as a congregation, as a church family. I love it that you can take it home and use it as a structure to build on. Now, I put my hands up that recently I've only prayed the Lord's Prayer in church like this, just as we do every week. And, you know, I haven't used it at home, for instance, in my private prayers. And you don't need to do that. I mean, as long as we're praying, talking to God, that's the right thing. We all, you know, if you pray regularly, you've probably got different models that you use. That's what I have. But it's really important that every now and then we test whatever model of prayer we use against the Lord's Prayer, because it's the one, it's the structure that God has given us. And I was out walking last week because I've started to try and use it again as a structure. And I was out walking a couple of times last week using the Lord's Prayer. And it was so good to be able to, in that first half of the prayer, spend all that time just God-focused in prayer. Caring about his name, caring about his rule, caring about his will. And in fact, I got home and I didn't even got to the end of the prayer, so I didn't pray for everybody here. Sorry about that. But, you know, it was what was really important was that I was focused on God. And that gave me just a different perspective for the day. And hopefully that meant that I didn't get led into temptation. I didn't do and say things that I needed forgiveness for, because I'd spent my day focusing on God at the beginning. So today, as we get to the halfway point, and as we continue to look at this first half of the prayer, which looks up to God, which is how we pray to him, about him, because that's God's agenda. He calls us to pray about him and to him before we start to pray for each other or for ourselves. We'll look at those things over the next few weeks. But as we heard a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned earlier, we come to the prayer and we acknowledge God as the almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, creator, sustainer God, who is also our Father. We pray that his name will be hallowed. We say we care, we treasure your name. We treasure your character, which is what his name is all about, God's name. we recognize as we care about God's name that it's holy, and we want others to recognize it in the same way. So today we come on to the next two parts of the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And these two flow, as Richard said last week, they flow from that hallowed be your name. We want God's kingdom to come and his will to be done. Why is that? Well, we want them because the main purpose of our existence is for God to be worshipped, his name to be hallowed, for him to receive the glory. So our priority as Christians is God's name, God's rule, God's will. Not my name, not my rule, not my will. So just before we look at your kingdom come, your will be done, we're looking at verse 10 today in the passage. Just the end of that verse, as we again looked at earlier on earth as it is in heaven. You know, what's going on in heaven that we pray for it to be on earth as well? It's good to remind ourselves of that. We touched on it earlier. In heaven, the angels and the saints that have gone before us, they worship and they hallow God's name continuously. They care about God's name. In heaven, which is the realm of God, there is no rebellion against the rule of Jesus. In heaven, God's will is completely, consistently, continuously obeyed without any resistance. That's what we're praying for on earth as we pray the Lord's Prayer. That God's ways will be obeyed here. So his rule, his kingdom is sown, his kingdom is grown, his kingdom is known, so that God's name will be hallowed as it should be. Now, as I say, God's kingdom, we want it to grow, to sow, to grow, to know. What am I talking about when I say God's kingdom? And it's important to stress first that God is sovereign. He is in control of everything. He can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever his will at any time. And we need to recognise that. He is Almighty God. But because of sin, because of our rebellious nature, because of caring more about ourselves than about God's name, God's rule and God's will, because of sin, earth is different from heaven. Because there's not full recognition. There's not full submission. There's not full obedience to God's will and to God's rule. So when we talk about God's kingdom on earth, we're not talking about a physical place. We're talking of Jesus Christ. We're talking of King Jesus ruling, reigning over my heart, over your heart, over your life, over my life, because we've submitted to the kingship of Jesus by accepting the wonderful free gift of salvation that Jesus offers us through the cross and through his resurrection. At the moment, God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and it reflects the reality of heaven, that we, if we follow Jesus, if we've committed our lives to Jesus, we will experience to the full when Jesus returns. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we're praying for God's kingdom to be expanded. We're praying for Jesus to be known by more people. We're praying for Jesus to defeat the rebellion in people's hearts. And that will make more things on physical earth taste just a little bit more like the reality of heaven while we wait for Jesus to return. When we pray your kingdom come, we're praying for the spread of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. But there's a bit of a paradox as well, because the prayer, this part of the prayer, has two meanings. We're also praying for that fearful and glorious day when Jesus returns, when he returns to judge everybody and take those who have given their lives to him to be with him forever. The very last book of the Bible, Revelation, the penultimate verse, chapter 22, verse 20, is the prayer that we pray in the Lord's Prayer. We say, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. We want Jesus to come if we're a Christian. And I'm looking forward to being forever with God, where again, as it says in Revelation, there's going to be no more sadness and tears and mourning and death and crying. All that's going to be gone. So I pray for that, because I know that when I'm in heaven and I'm in that situation, I'll be able to hallow God's name fully as I see the glory and the wonder and the peace of heaven. I want that more than anything. But I don't know when it will be. And so the other meaning of this prayer at the same time, two meanings at once, is that it's vital that we want God's kingdom to come, God's kingdom to grow, because there are people who we know, people who we love, who are lost because they do not know Jesus as their King and Saviour. Don't normally do this in a sermon, but we're going to got a couple of props, which I find really helpful. If you don't find this helpful, don't worry, but I find this really helpful when we think about the kingdom of God. So we have the kingdom of heaven, which is perfect, and we have earth, which is sinful, perfect and sinful. When Jesus came, earth, heaven overlapped. And this segment in the middle is you and me, if you are a Christian. You are in heaven, and you are never coming out of heaven. But at the same time, because of the overlap, we're still on earth. We're still affected. Things of sin and the devil will tempt us and so on. So it's a battle. We're in a battle. But when we pray, your kingdom come, we're praying for everybody in this segment here who are lost, who do not know Jesus, to come into the kingdom, to join us in that segment, to join us in heaven. Why? Because when Jesus comes, heaven will completely eclipse earth. It will completely renew earth. And everybody who is outside of heaven in earth will be lost, will be separated from God forever. And that is serious. So now, in these times, while we pray and while we wait for Jesus' return, we pray for the spread of the good news of Jesus. We pray in the Lord's Prayer that many people will come to know Jesus, from being lost and hopeless to being found and rescued and have a wonderful hope. Your kingdom come. And then we pray, your will be done. As I said earlier, God's will in heaven is experienced perfectly. And we pray that it will be increasingly experienced here on earth. And part of wanting God's kingdom extended is for us, who are Christians, to reflect fully what it means to be a citizen of heaven under Jesus' rule. So wherever God places us, our desire, our prayer is to know and to do God's will, reflecting Jesus as we do that, so that his kingdom on earth is grown. We care about God's will, so we pray that his will, his plans will be done, and we offer ourselves to be part of that. The Christian life is not about let's pray to God and then leave God to do it. It's not about that. It's pray to God and be available to partner, junior partners, yes, but to partner with God and others, each other, God's church family, to fulfilling God's will. What does that look like? Well, it looks like a lifestyle. It looks like a conduct. It looks like a behaviour that is pleasing to God. One that reflects God's character, who we see perfectly and fully seen in Jesus. And so it hallows God's name. It shows we care about God's name. That's the lifestyle that we're called to as Christians. Have you noticed in the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5, 6 and 7 of Matthew, three chapters. Have you noticed that the Lord's Prayer comes right in the middle, halfway through chapter 6? What's the Sermon on the Mount, you might be asking yourself? Well, it's a big sermon from Jesus which teaches us how to live a life that is pleasing to God. So the prayer to hallow God's name by doing his will and further his kingdom, the prayer that goes on to show us, you know, how to pray for each other and for ourselves, it sits right in the centre of a whole load of teaching from Jesus how to be part of making the prayer happen by living the lifestyle that Jesus calls us to. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. And the whole of the Bible is the same. The writer of Psalm 119 in the first part of the Bible, in the Old Testament, Psalm 119, he wrote that scripture, the Bible, is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. It reveals God's will for us, and we should, together with trusted Christians, be able to discern what God's will for our lives is by reading and studying the Bible. Now, the Bible won't answer absolutely every question we have. I don't want to be sort of superficial, but it's not going to tell me what colour socks to wear in the morning, for instance, you know? That's not what the Bible does. But what the Bible does do is enable us, as we look at it, to come to a godly decision about whatever we need to do. So when we find ourselves in circumstances that are hard or we can't see the way ahead, God's word tells us to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, it says in the Bible. To trust him. Trust his name. Trust the name that we've got to know. The name who is Almighty God and our Father, who cares about us, who's compassionate and caring and loving and faithful. Trust him. That's God's will, to trust him. The Apostle Paul, he summarised this lifestyle, I think, in a couple of amazing verses in the book that he wrote to Romans, chapter 12, first two verses. Let me read them to you. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that's Jesus' death for us, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the scriptures. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, his pleasing and perfect will. A living sacrifice. As we pray for God's will to be done, we offer to walk, as we prayed actually in the confession prayer that Tony used today, we offer to walk humbly in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus, who surrendered himself completely to the Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Our vision here at St. Patrick's is making Jesus known. Making Jesus known in everything we do. I hope you've heard that before. Why? Because ultimately, this is the way that God's name will be hallowed. This vision, making Jesus known in everything we do, encourages us to follow the Bible, to live holy lives, to surrender our lives, lives of self-sacrifice, reflecting Jesus' love, his care and his compassion in our individual lives, as a church family, supporting each other, welcoming other people into our family. Care and compassion, these are essential things in reflecting the love of Jesus and the fact that we're Christians, in doing God's will, in showing that his kingdom is coming and his name is hallowed. Care and compassion. But there is more, because love goes further than care and compassion if you're a Christian. We can't leave people feeling good about a warm welcome or a nice meal or a fun time, thinking that's all that life is about. It's not about making ourselves known. It's about making Jesus known. Part of making Jesus known is to not just show people in our lives, but to tell people. To tell people about the best news of knowing Jesus. Because, you know, they need to know the truth. If they're not a Christian, if people are lost, they need to know the truth. They need to know the seriousness of sinfulness. They need to know what will happen if Jesus comes and if they're not a Christian. They need to know their sin. They need to know, yet more importantly, or because it overflows the badness, they need to know the wonderful love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and me. He gave his life through his death and resurrection so that we can be rescued and be forever with God. We can't expect people to care about God's name, to care about God's rule and to care about God's will if they do not know Jesus for themselves. We cannot expect people to make the jump of looking at Jesus in our lifestyle, to make the jump to knowing Jesus for themselves as their personal King and Saviour. We have to tell them about it so they can make that decision. God's will to proclaim the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, was made clear. Excuse me, let's have a drink. Jesus himself told us what God's will was. If you look, go to the end of Matthew 28, Jesus said, just before he left the earth to be ascended to heaven, he said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all people. That's for all of us if we're Christians. We're Jesus' disciples, to make disciples of other people, to tell them about him. Now, of course, ultimately, it is God's work by his Holy Spirit who will bring people to a personal, committed faith in Jesus. That doesn't change. But we are called to be partners in praying and being doers of God's kingdom to grow and his will to be done. So when we say our vision, our desire, our commitment is to make Jesus known in everything we do, it means that we will be distinctive. It means that we will be different. It means that we will be different from another place down in Wallington who provides children's care, or another place down the road that provides a warm meal. It means that we'll be distinctive. It means that we'll be intentional about pointing them to Jesus in any way we can. That's why St. Patrick's Lunch Club is distinctive. It provides a wonderful meal. It provides love. It provides care. It provides community. And it tells people who come along through a service regularly about the gospel, about Jesus. It's why Stay and Play is distinctive. It provides a top quality space and a community and people intentionally loving and caring for toddlers and their carers. And it's where everyone sits down together and hears a story from the Bible, sings a song about Jesus, gets invited to other events like the Easter egg hunt and so on. So hopefully they will move to know Jesus for themselves. It's why the quiz night last night, which was a fantastic night, really, really good, wonderful that we raised that money. It's why it was distinctive from a quiz night read down the pub. Because Lorna was intentional in telling us about Jesus and about why we had the quiz and inviting people to know more about Jesus. It's why last Wednesday we started a New Hope Explored course with the mums group, and it was brilliant. I want to encourage you today to keep on doing whatever it is you're doing here at St. Patrick's, at your own churches, at work, at school, at home, down the pub, in your family, wherever it happens to be. Please keep on doing whatever it is you do to show you care about God's name, about God's rule, and about God's will. But then can I ask you, can I encourage you to pray that it is distinctive, that you will be intentional in giving people who you know and meet in these places a clear opportunity to know what you know, to know who you know, to know Jesus, so that God's will be done, so that God's kingdom will come, so that God's name is hallowed. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you surrendered yourself completely to God the Father, that you gave yourself in an agonizing death on the cross so that we might know the Father for ourselves. Lord, I pray that if we're here today and we are a Christian, that you would help us by your Spirit to give us the courage, give us the wherewithal, the knowledge, the ideas, just to be able to take whatever it is we do at the moment as we show that we care about your name and your rule and your will. Give us that, just the next step in giving people a leaflet, telling people about Jesus, you know, trying to find ways to do that, that more people would know you. And Lord, I pray that if there is someone here this morning who doesn't yet know Jesus for their Saviour, but has heard what a wonder it is to know Jesus today, what a wonder it is that they can look forward to forever with God in heaven, where there is no more pain or tears or death or mourning. Lord, if there's someone who wants that for themselves today, would you give them the courage to say right now in the silence, Lord Jesus, I commit my life to you. And would you give them the confidence to come and talk to me or to Tony or someone they know perhaps better here today to tell them that great news? Lord Jesus, we love you and we want to serve you. We want your name to be lifted high. Amen.